Let us stand. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is our call to worship. Let us pray. Lord God, this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it, Lord. We rejoice your name. We rejoice the gift of your Son. And Lord God, this day that you have set aside for rest, we dedicate it to you through worship. Bless, dear Lord, the prayers, the offering, the sermon, any scriptures that are read. Bless these people, dear Lord, their hearing and their hearts. Meld today, dear Heavenly Father, head and heart, so that we might be the people that you've created to be here to further your kingdom here on earth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and we all say, amen.
Amen.
Our hymn is hymn number 244.
This morning is found in the back of your hymnal, the statement of faith. May we read responsibly. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit,
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father of
deeds. To his deeds we testify.
He calls the world into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteousness, declared through prophets and apostles, in Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord. He has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm going to say it again. Now, I'm looking like I feel this morning. So let me hear you say to me, I'm going to say it again, good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is for each of us to gather here today on this first Sunday in October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we acknowledge the importance of remembrance and recognition. It is my pleasure at this time to recognize our visitors. Now, don't be shy about this. If you're visiting with us for the first time, now if you've been here, you can rest assured this morning I'm not going to ask you to stand up again. I hear you saying praise the Lord. But if you're here for the first time, haven't been here for a while, stop by to see us. Don't be shy. Go ahead and get up so that we may see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, please stand up and be acknowledged so I don't have to call you out. All right, we are one big happy family this morning. Some may not want to be acknowledged, but I'm going to say this to those that are not members of our immediate church family. We thank God that he sent you our way this morning.
Amen.
We thank God that you were able to get up out your bed this morning and come and be with us.
Amen.
And we simply invite you to come back and be with us again and again. Church, we have some announcements, and I'm going to try to be as short as possible with the announcements. This afternoon, when I get home and get situated, I'm going to send out a one call to you to remind you of several things, but bear with me for just one moment, please. I could say that we had a successful tidy-up cleanup day on yesterday. I could say that we had a wonderful mini-picnic lunch on yesterday, but there was nothing, absolutely nothing mini about anything that we did on yesterday. I want to thank so many individuals, and I'm going to do that through our one call, when I sent it out this afternoon, but I would be remiss in my duties as moderator if I did not give a shout out. And we don't do shout outs in this church, but if we did, the laymans would certainly get a shout out this morning for stepping up, for picking up food, for cooking food. Daryl Seinfeld led the charge. I'm going to talk about all of this, the grill masters, the everything. I'll put all of this in our one call message that I'm going to send out. But if you missed it, I'm going to simply say this. You missed it. And I'll leave it at that. We had enough food to feed Montgomery. Ms. Ford thought we were going to have lunch after church today. But what we're going to do is it's a little something different. So first, church, I want to thank all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, if you missed it, today after church, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the fellowship hall. We have a lot of bread that was left over. I want you to feel free to take that bread home with you for bread pudding, for toast, for whatever. There's desserts that was left over, cupcakes, etc. Feel free to get those when you go back there. There's ice cream in the freezer when you go back there, ice cream cups. So if you want to take an ice cream cup along with you, we want you to do that. The only thing I'm saying is when you do finish and get what you want, make sure you clean up your mess. And I'm saying that in such a nice way because you all really cleaned up yesterday. And Walter Thomas has just done an outstanding job of getting us where we need to be. So we're getting ready for our 150th, and we're all going to do what we're supposed to do. Now, as we move forward to the 150th, I want to share with you that we still have tickets for the luncheon. Lunch is coming along fine. It's going to be fabulous. But you might want to purchase a table of eight. And if you've already purchased tickets, and invite your family and invite your friends to come out and be with us at the luncheon. We still have tickets, and you can see me after church if you'd like to do that so that we can include you. Mrs. Ford asked me to remind the parents that the youth essays are due next Sunday. This is a competition, and it's got to be judged. So youth, the parents of the youth, make sure we have those youth essays turned in to Ms. Ford no later than next Sunday. The beautiful decorations on the altar this morning. And I'm telling you, we're pinked out. We're pinked out, and it is beautiful. It's a reminder, and it's reminding of us of Breast Cancer Awareness Month that we're going to go through this whole month celebrating and doing the things that we need to bring attention to breast cancer awareness. Felicia Gamble decided that she really, really wanted to do something. So she's remembering her sister Maria and her very, very best friend who are both currently undergoing treatment for breast cancer. Felicia is outstanding, and it's heartfelt, and I know that they know it's from your heart. And I know our ushers have been pinning us and doing corsages and all kind of things going on, and we will continue moving on through this with Flo and the ushers as we move through our breast awareness cancer month. I didn't just say today. We have birthdays, and we have birthdays. I don't know what's going on with October, but we have birthdays, and we have birthdays this week. If someone would pass me a bulletin, please. Lisa Seinfeld is not here today. She's with her mom. Her mom did the pound cake yesterday, came out here and just did everything, frying up and doing everything. So it's her mom's birthday today. So Lisa Seinfeld is away with her mom, and her mom is Dorothy Warmack, and we're wishing her a very happy birthday as well. If you're looking in your birthdays, it's Darren Baffio, Annabelle Escobar, Belinda Stanley. You got a birthday tomorrow? Happy birthday to you. Reginald Miller is celebrating on the 4th. Shannon Montgomery is celebrating on the 5th. And Felicia Gamble is warming up for the 6th. So we have these wonderful birthdays going on, and we will continue to recognize them as we move through the month. And we've got a very, very special anniversary coming up this month. Deacon White, no pressure, but I'm letting you know your anniversary's coming. We have a beautiful thank you note from Carolyn, and it's from the Myrick family, from Cheryl Myrick's family. The family of Cheryl Lanice Myrick wishes to express appreciation for your kind thoughtfulness and expressions of sympathy conveyed to us in many ways. We are sincerely grateful for your love and support during our season of Cheryl's illness and bereavements. And it's from Carolyn and her entire family that sent us a thank you. And church, we have received our certificate from the United Church of Christ for 5 of 5. This is for our last year's contribution. And for such a small church, we gave $8,290 for our 5 of 5 contributions. And I think that deserves a praise clap, church. Thank you very much over there, Carolyn. Thank you. I leave you each week with a thought for the week, and I'm finished, church, finally. I'm finished. I'm going to give you two things that I want you to adhere to this week as you move forward and as God continues to bless us. I'm talking to the women of the church first, and then I'm going to talk to everybody. For some reason, for 2 years, COVID came, and we kind of shut down, and we didn't do all the things that we were supposed to do because of COVID. So the first thing to all the women in the church today, if you have not had your mammogram this year, I want you to schedule it tomorrow morning. If you've not had your mammogram, schedule it as soon as possible. Now the thought for the week for the church, and I'm leaving this with you all before I'm seated. Take it for what it's worth. The only thing I want you to do this week is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Have a blessed week, church.
Once again, good morning. You all do look so wonderful in your pink. I guess I forgot. I would have grabbed a pink shirt out. Real men can't wear pink. So they say real men cry and real men wear pink. So y'all will catch me in pink next year. I would have just had to grab a pink tie or a black tie or whatever would have matched. My wife would have taken care of me and told me what matched that. colors are not my thing. But with that being said, so it's important that I understand with the concern with women issues that you all get your mammograms. Make sure that you get checked out. I am pro men going to the doctor. I stay on men about going to the doctor. I stay at the doctor. I just had my, 2 weeks ago this Wednesday will be, I had my 5th COVID shot, and I've already had the new pneumonia injection and the injection for the flu shot. So those shots are out there. There's a new N-E-W, pneumonia shot, P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A. This shot is supposed to last a long time. It's 43, 44, 45 strands of pneumonia that are out there. Now, it doesn't feel good, so you got little arms. Fortunate enough, the Lord blessed me with some nice shoulders, but they still hurt. But go get your shot. It's important that we stay up on these things. Nobody's getting younger. So we all need to make sure that we do those things. Gentlemen, please go have your prostate checked. Sister Wilson reminded me it's not a prostrate. I was like, oh, you remind me of my grandma. You're an English teacher. I know you had to be an English teacher. Prostate, I know the exact term. It's prostate. So please have your prostate checked, gentlemen. It's important. I go every year in February for my birthday. That's my birthday present to me because it runs in my family. Been going since I was 33. So just make sure everyone gets checked out. I didn't know that you lost a sister to breast cancer. She's still living. She's going through treatment. Sister Wilson, we have our friend. I'm going to probably go see her later on in the this year when I get some break from school. I know that your friend is struggling in Jackson. I want to make it over there to see her and minister to her. If there's anybody that you know of, I want you to put them on the front of your mind. This is ravaging our community, and it doesn't have to. And also ravages the white community as well. It's not a selector of persons. So it's important that we get checked out. Majority of you all, I know you either retired from a good job or got a good job. You know, we'll run and get that Mercedes checked on and give them folks $8 to $1,000, but you won't spend $50 or $25 on a copay. Get yourself checked out. We got to stop that. It's important for us to get checked out from head to toe with everything we got, with everything we got going on. So what I want you to do is, if you know someone, and while I'm praying, offering up to God our pastoral prayer that you mentioned that person. Let us pray. Faithful God, our Father, for another opportunity to gather together under your auspices of grace and mercy, we are thankful. Father God, you allowed the death angel to pass over our house last night, and you watched over us, and you loved us as your children. So pick us up, Father, put us in your laps. Allow us to feel the nourishing love of your comfort, for you are the God of all comfort. Lord, we're thankful for food, clothes, and shelter, cars, all of the attributes of life that you have afforded us. And Lord God, we're thankful for jobs or retiring from jobs, thankful for the finances that you give us that we might be able to survive here on earth. Lord God, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. And we have sense enough to know that you provide us with all of our gifts, needs, and wants. So we're thankful, and we say thank you this morning. Lord God, this Sunday we are dedicating to the cause of breast cancer. It's not just women that suffer from breast cancer. There are men as well. So dear Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would continue to provide us with the science, the research, and the technology, and blessing us with, dear Heavenly Father, doctors that you have provided wisdom to. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful, dear Lord, for hospitals and chemotherapy and radiation treatment and the ability to go get tested. Right now, dear Heavenly Father, bless these women in here that have family members, as well as men that have family members, but those that have been mentioned, dear Lord, that we know that are struggling, use Felicia, dear Heavenly Father, and Linda as ministers of grace and truth to provide words of comfort, dear Heavenly Father. Let them know that their family members are loved and that they are held up, dear Heavenly Father, because you're the God that heals. You're the God that makes people whole. So, Lord, this day, for all of us, we're so thankful. We're thankful for a God that answers prayer. Lord, Tim is at home. And you're such a wonderful God. And Lord God, on the forefronts of all of these men and women that are here today, they've placed in their mind someone that they might have a concern for. So we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would not look over those. And dear Heavenly Father, continue to use us for your greater glory here on earth. It is my prayer that you use First Church in a mighty and blessed way, that we might be a blessing to our community. Now, dear Heavenly Father, focus us in this time of worship and continue to keep us, dear Lord, is our prayer. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and we all say, amen.
When Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, I say happy day.
Oh, happy day. He taught me how. He taught me how.
Watch and pray.
All right. Good God. All right.
Watch and pray.
And I rejoice.
Wash my sins away. Amen. Whenever I hear that part about when I get to heaven, I'm always reminded about my grandma. My grandmama used to shout from the back of church when she was coming in all the way to the front. So I know she up there trying to tab heaven every day in Jesus' bosom. You would know that she was in church. Amen. No reason to be quiet when you're in church. I said there's no reason to be quiet when you're in church. I'm reminded every Sunday when I'm preaching, and most of you all are, and I understand, Dr. King was not one for a lot of emotionalism, but I always tell Linda and Walter, and the drawer back there, I appreciate y'all with the coaching me along. You don't, but don't do it too much, the Baptists will come out of me. Because I will point over there and tell her, run me out at D-flat. So, or this way, run me out at D-flat. Y'all better be glad y'all ain't got no hammer. But yeah, you know what that means. Gotcha. Yeah. It is important to give. Yesterday, I was afforded such a great opportunity to sit with a young gentleman of this church, born in this church, one of you all's sons, and I spent some time with him business, and he's just amazing. Just because you don't see folks inside of the church, there are people of First Church doing the work of the Lord. Amen. And I would love to tell you all, well, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. Linda, your son is something else. You said we had a lot in common. He's got such a good heart. He gives. He's cooking for the entire, what's the name of that college y'all got right over there? Alabama State, it is? Okay, yeah, Alabama State. But he's cooking for the whole team, and congratulations on your win. But he's cooking for them, and it's for the whole team. The whole team. That is unique, and that is to be commended for service like that. That's why we exist as a church. And just because you don't see somebody sitting in these pews all the time doesn't mean that they're not doing the work of the Lord. And so make sure he knows that I said thank you for what he's doing as a contributing member of this church. That's what church is about. Church is not about always in reach. It's about outreach. We should be doing more outreach. Outreach first, church. Outreach is what we should be doing. And so at the beginning of the year, we'll begin working on that as I forecast a vision to you all. But yes, the other way that we do wonderful outreach and inreach is by giving, being a good steward. And not a S-T-E-W-A-R-T, I'll leave that to a good trustee right there, but a good steward, S-T-E-W-A-R-D, and stewarding over the wonderful gifts that God has given us. Tithing is important. Tithing is a tenth part of your income. After you've rendered what you've rendered unto Caesar, we have to render what we render unto our Lord God. So today is a day that the Lord has made, and we worship him not just through song, sermon, prayer, but through offering as well. So with that in mind, please get your offerings prepared and let us return a portion of what God has given us back to him. Come on, ushers, please. Ushers, come on. It's fine, let the worshipers enter. Good morning. Things come of thee, O Lord, and of our own have we given thee. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand.
Rejected, often criticized, hid behind the childhood lies. Everything has changed since the blood. Since the blood. Since the blood. Oh, the blood. Born alone and left to die, rejected, often criticized, hid behind the childhood lies. Everything has changed since the blood
falling on us.
Since the blood
gave me purpose.
Since the blood
is treasure for us.
Oh, the blood.
Who can be against us?
A hopeless falling from the air, reaching but no hands is there. Screaming, crying, no one cares.
Our mighty world has died.
But the blood
falling on us.
But the blood
gave me purpose.
But the blood
is treasure for us.
Oh, the blood.
Who can be against us?
Lord, what did you see in me? Sins and shortfalls left me weak. But someday when our faces meet, your scars would help me see. It was the blood
falling on us.
Was the blood. Was the blood
is treasure for us.
Was the blood
who can be against us.
Was the blood
gave me purpose.
Was the blood
is treasure for us.
Was the blood
who can be against us.
Thank you for the blood.
You gonna crack some glass in here. She hit a note a little while ago. I was like, wow, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank the music ministry for what you do. Thank you for setting aside of your own personal time to serve the Lord and to lead us in worship. Thank you. Thank you, drummer. Thank you, organist and pianist. Thank you, guitarist. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Amen. Amen. And all of you wonderful singers, we appreciate. Yeah? Yeah. Thank y'all. I appreciate it so much. So 2 weeks ago, we started in the book of Mark. Now, Mark is, go ahead and turn to Mark 5, just so you'll know. Mark is the first book out of the New Testament that is written. Mark is a North African. When Jesus died, his ministry Amen. He was the apostolos. The word apostle means sent, to be sent out. Apostolos is where we get the Greek word from. Apo, from, stolos, sent. He was sent out to North Africa, the northeastern corner of Africa. And Mark is the book that Africans read. There are two wonderful books. I got one in my office. I think I got both of them in my office. From an African-American author on Mark and Mark's gospel and the implications of Mark's gospel to black people. See, when we were slaves, folks led us to believe the fact that we didn't know what Christianity was all about. Mark's gospel shaped Christianity. We didn't come over as a bunch of folks in grass skirts running around a fire hollering Ubuntu booga booga, right, or any of this foolishness that they like for us to believe. We were very well versed, educated, and many of us were already Christians. There were others that were nature religions, but the majority were Christians and or Muslims. So when they brought us here and they broke us, they had to reshape us with a slave Bible. Slave Bible was just a collection of a few scriptures and a few verses that they wanted us to have and understand. And so there are 66 books in the canon. With those 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. And with that being understood, the whole canon of the Bible is what we are to understand. That has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today. Mark, the very first sermon 2 weeks ago, we talked about a faith that follows. We had the disciples, they were getting onto the boat with Jesus. And then the following week, we talked about a faith in which we have to have a faith in order to confront the demoniacs. Now, to me, I'm on holy ground today because in September of 1999, these are the texts that I preached my trial sermon from, the next two texts. So today we're going to be focusing on a faith that finds. We're going to be, and it's kind of fitting, I guess, because we're going to be talking about a lady with a woman issue today. So I'm going to read this text to you all out of Mark 5. We're going to start at about the 21st verse, Mark 5, 21, and then I'm going to read 25 through 34. So we'll start at 21. And so no one is confused, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, Mark 5 and 21. When Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. 25th verse. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At once, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction." I would like to use as a subject for the purpose of preaching this morning, reach out. Let us pray. Lord God, hide me behind the shadow of your cross and take me out of myself, that I might be able to preach your word to reach your people. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I got my clock right here today. So I won't tarry long. Reach out. There is an article in Christianity Today from March of this year called 25% of Americans are skeptical about Christianity. Why is this so important? Is God still speaking? Is anyone still listening? Long title for an article. The article reported on the modern meaning of skepticism. You know what a skeptic is? It's a person that no matter what type of evidence you bring towards them, they still gonna doubt. No matter what you do. Just like Thomas and John near the end of the Gospel of John, Thomas being Didymus, which also means twin, was in the upper room with all of the apostles. It's often thought there's about 70 people in that room, 70 to 100 people in that room. And the women run back, and so did Peter and John. Hey, we seen it. We saw him. He's risen. He tells them, unless I, what? Can see the stigmata where he's been wounded. Unless I can touch those things. And then when he did touch him, his response back was in Aramaic, Ish Sadi, my Lord and my God. So it's important when we understand skeptics, because the church has often been a place of doubt in the midst of skeptics, that questions are not allowed in church. And I'm going to tell you why questions aren't allowed. Preachers don't know. I stand flat-footed here to tell you that. That's why it's important for us to go to school. That's why I went to school, because I wanted to know. I wanted to know that Reverend Scott knew what he was talking about when I was a little boy. I knew that there was a problem. I knew that there was a problem within our church, because preachers don't go to church. There's more academic fraud in our church these days than you will ever see. Dr. So-and-so. My pastor that ordained me, John Henry Williams, often told me after he got his D-man from Beeson, he said, I'd rather be a fake nurse, rather be a real nurse than a fake doctor any day. But we say these things, a lot of folks think that we're being proud and boastful and beating on our chest about degrees. People just don't know. And if I don't have the right answer to give you, your faith isn't strengthened. Right. And it will leave room in your life to become skepticals, to become a skeptic. And then you will begin to doubt. But anyway, for both skeptics and Christians, the pandemic has provided for us an opportunity to reevaluate our beliefs and our behaviors alike. Countless people experience solitary times and illuminated which areas of their life may have needed changing. Many people change jobs, reprioritize relationships, and are now collectively addressing stress, anxiety, and depression as a result of these seismic paradigm shifts. After witnessing and experiencing suffering on a global scale, because COVID attacked the entire world, not just the black community, people are now trying to heal broken relationships, deal with physical and mental health challenges, and seek ways to find purpose in their lives, healing and growing from a whole person perspective, holistic healing. Holistic healing means that not only my body is healed, but my mind is healed and my spirit is healed. That is the tripartite man. Most of us only want to talk about a dual sense of manhood or a dual sense of mankind, that man is body and soul, or just body and mind. We are tripartite beings. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all of thy mind, and all of thy soul, with your body, with that thing inside of you called your soul, and with your mind. That's what we're commanded to do. We are tripartite beings, and being tripartite beings, we're looking after healing and growing from a whole person perspective, a holistic perspective, including meeting spiritual needs. The article that I talked about ends with this sentence. Christians who care deeply about their communities, First Church, can lead people to a saving grace of Jesus who understands every struggle they've experienced because he's been there too. We have a high priest who intercedes for us that was tempted at all points, yet without sin. That's written in Hebrews. So how do we offer the community a real and authentic ministry of physical and spiritual and mental holistic healing? Jesus, in our text, we see that he came to offer us divinity. His divine nature. Jesus had two things going for him. He was totally divine and at the same time totally human. Jesus came to offer us his divinity in the midst of doubt. And the church exists to offer discipleship in the midst of doubt. That we look at Jesus and we see who Jesus is and what he began to do and what he began to teach. What Jesus began to do, his practice, and what he began to teach, his didache or his pedagogy. And then the church in turn looks at what Jesus did and we do what Jesus did. Okay, now, I don't think we got a doctor in here, but the doctor can heal the sick. So we ought to have programs that ought to be involved around healing the sick. We talk about the teachings that Jesus did. That's why we had such a wonderful Sunday school this morning, and we had a wonderful Bible study last week, which we'll have another one this week. But the church exists to offer discipleship in the midst of doubt. And the way that we do this is by reaching out, outreach. The church exists to do outreach and inreach. Outreach is how we serve the community, and inreach is how we serve ourselves. But can I be honest, First Church? We've been doing a lot of inreach, and we're inreach heavy, and it's time for us to do some outreach so we can have balance. Because if we're not balanced, we teeter-totter. I'm remembering a game that we played when we were doing team building when I was a young platoon leader. We had a baseball bat. We put it down. We put our heads on it. And we'd spin around on it. And then when we got done, we stood up, and we had to run across a finish line. Well, I was running all this way because my equilibrium was all off and going that way, whatever else. That's us, First Church. We're off balance. We're running every which way, and there has to be a narrow focus of that we do both things, inreach and outreach. A church with too many of one of these is out of balance.
All right, now.
But without outreach, we're doomed to live self-centered lives and be viewed as selfish by the community. Because folks will drive by and be like, is that a white folks church? I can't understand. It drives me crazy. You see a church on every street corner and crackheads and prostitutes on the same street corner and don't nobody go out and talk to them? There's a big old church in Atlanta on Old National. Y'all know what church I'm talking about. I ain't got to talk about Dr. Dollar's church.
All right. Come on.
I was stationed there. I was on recruiting duty as a United States Army chaplain, and there was no way that I could even sit up there and just drive by that church without looking, and it's women out there selling themselves. And don't nobody walk outside and talk to them. Come on. You know that goes on here in our community. Our churches are no longer healing stations. They're just Band-Aids on cancer. And our church needs to be a chemotherapy station where we're involved with fixing and healing our community. But if you're so concerned with just yourself, your Audi, your Mercedes Benz, your pickup truck so you could go deer hunting or whatever else that you got, it's a problem. And you become in-reach heavy and not outreach heavy.
All right.
And we've got to help, because when all of us get to help, y'all accountable one time, I'm accountable twice. When I stand in front of the commanding general one day and I salute him and I say, Reverend Spencer, standing here reporting his order, he's going to ask me two questions. What did you do with First Church? And what did you do with yourself? That's what he's going to ask me. For y'all, he's going to ask you what you do for yourself. Was you only concerned about you and your own soul? Did you do anything about these kids that are here at First Church that need to know the love of the Lord and they don't even know who parted the Red Sea? They know nothing about David's sweet soliloquies like the 23rd Psalm. They don't know none of those things. But they know every rap song, because we provide those things for them. My son hates talking to me about the Bible. He gets a thesis. I'm going to tell him what it is. I don't care if you don't like it or not. I'm going to tell you. You ought to buy him a Bible. Let him pick up a Bible. We've got to be concerned with something other than ourselves. So how do we How does me and April, how does me and the two sister Frenches over there, the Chris and Chelsea and the rest of the four C's and all the rest of us in here, the deacons and trustees, how do we offer the community a real and authentic ministry of physical, spiritual, and mental healing? The question is in our text. Look at verse 21. And I'm going to walk you through this, and I'm going to try to hurry up. Verse 21. Jesus crossed over again. One, he came from up top. He came down to Gadara, and now he's coming back across again. Jesus was moving, wasn't he? So he crosses over again by boat to the other side. Now, I'm quite sure the disciples was real timid about getting back in a boat with Jesus. But they get there and they go over to the other side. And when they get to the other side, a large crowd gathered them. What do we learn from this? This means that Jesus was what? A mover. Jesus had a moving ministry. The Greek word "outhus" is characterized all throughout the King James Version of the Bible. It will show you that it says, "Kai outhus," and immediately, and immediately, and immediately, and immediately. We got to have a moving ministry where we cover ground, where we're not standing still all the time. First Church has got to be a moving church. We've got to be concerned with something other than ourselves. That means we ought to have some mobility in what we're doing out here in the world. Mobility is one of the many combat powers of the United States Army, armor, and infantry. We ought to have a moving military. We ought to have mobility in the church so that we can cover a large amount of space. That's what our church ought to be concerned about, mobility. And as Jesus being a mover, not only was he a mover, but he was a worker. He was a worker bee. He was always doing something. That man walked everywhere. Wasn't no chariot. Wasn't no horse. Do you know how many miles it was that when he walked from Bethany to Capernaum? It was over 50 kilometers. That's a long way. That's a very long way. And that's what's important. That's about 30 miles. 50 kilometers. He walked. When we say, he walked the dusty plains of Palestine. Yes, he did. And to wash somebody's feet who walked all the time, there wasn't no pretty Vietnamese women around doing toes in. It was a sign of service and a sign of humility. Mother Teresa, even though she was a Roman Catholic nun, she treated Indian people's sores who had leprosy. That's why she got canonized and made a saint. Do you know what it's like? Have you ever seen somebody with leprosy? Or have you been to a foreign country and seen somebody with leprosy? They could be talking to you and a body part just fall off. I've passed by a leper colony. It stinks. Jesus had a moving ministry. He was a worker in his community. He cared more about the other people than he cared for himself. This means that before they come to us, we must go to them. Nobody's going to come to us. Very few people are going to come to the church to seek us out. Very few people. We've got to go to them. We've got to check on folks. Make sure they're okay. That's why I call you. I call Tim. Text Tim. You might get sick of me sometime calling you when you're sick. Just tell me, Pastor, I'm good. Don't call me no more. I believe in checking on my people, making sure my people are good. You've got to be okay. I want to know what's going on with you. When I leave here today, I know I got a member in the hospital. I got to figure out whether I got to go over there and check on him. It's important. That's what we do as Christians. The problem with the black church in our community is stagnancy, complacency, and wanting white folks to fix our problems. How many of y'all fresh out of college or in college or somewhere near out of college, under 50? Who got student loans? We want white folks to fix our problems. Serious. That's what we want. It's everything they fault. Now, if you know that they flood our community with drugs, why you gonna sell their drugs? It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, like the devil, they want you to flood the airwaves with that foolishness that we call hip-hop. That's why I let my son listen to it. Me and my wife, we let him listen to Dougie Fresh that wasn't cussing and talking about women in an old kind of way. Because there was a story to it. I try to expose him to good things, a good side, and the meaning of what hip-hop is. But now we got DaBaby, Lil Baby, A Baby, One Baby, Two Babies, Four Babies. I'm talking to you. I see them braids. I ain't got nothing against your hairstyle. I was just calling you out. I see you shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. 12 different babies. Y'all ain't even got no... y'all like LeBron over Michael Jordan. I can't even understand. It's involved around work ethic. Nobody appreciates a body of work anymore. Nobody. And that's why it's important for us to get up off of our tails and do something about our community. God hath, and it's not in the Bible, God hath hands but our hands. But God hath not our hands is a quote. And it's important because we are the workers. We're the workers. We're the workers. The church exists to minister to our community. The problem with our black church we see is stagnancy, complacency, and wanting other people to fix our problems. But I got news for you. We are on Gilligan's Island, and ain't nobody coming to save us but us. That's it. They ain't going to fix K.I.V. They don't care nothing about you. She don't. I love me ma. She give plenty of jobs. She's a good lady. Haven't heard anything about her Christian attitude, none of that type of stuff, unless she still think Donald Trump going to save her. But the point is that no one's going to save us but us. No one's going to save us but us. I watched my grandparents work their fingers to the bone to make sure I got to college. I stressed to all my children, go to college, go to college, go to college, go to college. I don't care if you want to be a hairdresser, you better go to college. It's important because when you get educated, you're allowed at their table. Am I right? Amen. I could go, I get to sit at their table at Samford. They have no choice but to have a couple of us around that table. And when you go get the same education they got, that's when it becomes a problem with them. Right, it's important for us to do those things. Verse 25, let me move on. We see the woman is suffering from bleeding for 12 years, and we see her condition, and we see this beautiful black woman. She black. Don't be fooled. She's black. Everybody in the Bible, black. It's a black Bible. Black history starts in the Bible. I had the t-shirt on yesterday. This black woman was suffering from a condition. We do not know what the condition is, but the condition that she had was the fact that she had a menstrual cycle that was continuing on for 12 years. Now, there's a problem there. First of all, in Hebrew culture, a woman is viewed as a piece of property, period. That means that she was disenfranchised. The second thing was because she had this issue of blood that King James talks about, that's what he describes, which was her menstrual cycle, this menstrual problem she had, Levitically, she was unclean. She couldn't even go to church. And I'm quite sure that during this time, there were no sanitary conditions. So 9 times out of 10, ladies, y'all know she smelt a little funny. There were some significant issues that this woman had. And that's what we're going to treat in our community. Folks that smell a little funny, folks that are disenfranchised, and folks that oftentimes can't come to church. And it's important for us to be the type of people that are opening and open and accepting to these type of people. There's a church in Birmingham, I'll never forget it. I was stationed in Chicago. One of my classmates told me that this church in Birmingham, the current pastor that they had there at the time, got ran off because he started bringing gangbangers and criminals and all other folks just like that inside of the church. And one of my other classmates, I heard that she said, and this is just hearsay, but I know her, why he bringing them folks in here? The church is a hospital. It exists to clean up everybody. Something wrong with me. And if you don't think nothing wrong with you, baby, go look in the mirror. All right now. There's something wrong with me. It's called sin. That's right. All of us have it. The Greeks say hate. That's what the word is. The Hebrews said hate. The Greeks say hamartias. All of us suffer from this condition. And there's only one way to fix it. And that's the only way we can fix it is to get cleaned up by Jesus. And this is a Jesus house. We exist to tell folks about Jesus. We exist to serve the purpose of Jesus. We exist to continue to do the things Jesus did and taught. And that's the purpose of our outreach. So I know I ain't got a lot of time. Who can help us? What's the source of everything? How can I be made whole? What's the solution for holistic healing? Verse 27 and 28, she says what? If I may touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. What's important about that I love is something you don't see. In my office, I have a tallit. A tallit is a prayer shawl. It's blue and white. And I can wrap my tallit around me. And on the end of the tallit are zitzits. You come by my office when it's over, I'll show you. The zitzits are the representative of the word of God. The zitzits come down, and then there's five. Well, there's 10, which is representative of the Decalogue. And then you got five, which represents the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which represent the law. But then it comes down to one, which is one God. What she was trying to reach out when she said, if I could just touch the hem, she's trying to touch the word of God. Well, First Church, I can't get Negroes to come to Bible study. Say amen, plant. The only thing that we have that can tell us anything about God is this right here. Period. That's it. This book. I live to master this book. I just spent $4,000 on a Logos program. I up it every year because I want to know more about him, not just to fill my head. I want to help y'all. All right. But if you don't read two, Bible study will be boring to you and you won't have anything to contribute. And I know you might not like it. I've heard what folks have said. Pastor want to turn this church into a white folks church. They read the Bible. They just don't live it.
Amen.
We need to read and read profusely, read voraciously, read widely. It's important. That's the only way you're going to connect with God. God just don't sit up there and just go, poof, here I am. Yes, his Holy Spirit talks to you. But at the same time, you have got to read. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And that ain't two or three Bible verses. That's the whole canon. 66 books of the Bible. But black folk got a problem because we've only learned and interpreted the slave Bible. It's 66 books. It's something more than slaves obey your masters. It's 66 of these books. And we have to fill our heads with them. I know we don't like school. But that's what Bible study is for. That's why y'all hired me, so I could break down this word for you. All you got to do is come to Bible study. All you got to do is Sunday school. But if you start getting a burning inside of you to learn what God, who God is, and the things of God, things begin to get transformed in your life. You start giving more. I've looked at the calculations of what First Church is supposed to give. If my calculations are correct, we should be close to $1 million annually. We ain't nowhere near there. That's what stewardship is about. Say amen, plant. I knew I wasn't going to get no amens today. It's important because I am not going to die and go to hell on account for the fact that I didn't tell y'all what the Lord gave to me.
All right.
That's what's important to me. So when this girl came up behind Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment, she got holistic healing. He said to her, what? Daughter, your what? Faith has made you whole. Her faith is what made her whole. First Church, I love y'all. That's why y'all sitting in here. We all got problems, but your faith is what's going to make you whole. Because you believe in a God. You believe in a God that came down through 40 and two burning worlds. You believe in a God that can heal the sick, raise the dead, and stop a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. You know and you serve a God that could get you through college. You know and serve a God after your husband had left you, you could raise your children. You know and serve a God that has left this black community all the way through from civil rights out of the hull of a slave ship up until this point. All we got to do is outreach. We love and serve a God that on a third day morning got up after being crucified and brutalized just like black men and women have. All night long he laid in that grave, but he got up. all power in his hands. And our God loves us all. Do you love him?
Yes.
Have you tried him?
Yes.
Ain't he able?
Yes.
That's right. All right, I better slow down. I get hat. Don't do that. D flat. Yeah. But don't do that. All right, all right, all right. That's good. That's good. That's good. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Yeah, I get to hollering in here, and y'all be telling the folks over at Beast and I acted up in here. Yeah, no, you call 911. The church on fire. We don't need no more fires in here. I love him. Brought me from a mighty long way. I believe in who he is. Yeah. I believe him. I believe. Don't you believe him? I believe him. 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 I don't know about y'all. I was in a combat zone. I got shot at one night. I was in a bunker. And artillery piece came in and hit my bunker, knocked me unconscious. They tell me now I have a traumatic brain injury now. I'm not supposed to be able to remember certain things that I'm supposed to be able to remember, but I love the Lord because he heard my cry. He pitied every groan. Long as I live and as our trouble rise, I hasten to his throne. If you go to the throne room with me and tell Jesus all about your troubles, all you got to do is go to the throne room. He'll heal you. He'll fix you. He'll do whatever it is that you need from him. Yeah. All right, all right. Deacons, let's have communion. Yeah. I'm good. Let's go. I'm good. The doors of the church are open. I apologize. I need more preachers behind me that'll grab me and tell me to open the doors of the church. Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Man, woman, boy, or girl, will there be one? The doors of the church are open. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. Church ain't over, little man. To my boys, I was like, you, when you get ready, William, well, April has told him, when you get ready, that's on you. That's between you and Jesus, because I can't fix you. What can wash away your sin? What can cleanse and make you whole again?
Nothing but the blood.
That's right. That's right. And that's the answer, young man. But if you're like me and got somebody wise in your family like your grandmama, any of you other young folk in here, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you. Period.
Thank you.
Like to take the time to thank you all for your kind words to me and my wife, especially my daughter, and for supporting me with my son. So tomorrow I should find out some more information about my son as far as trials are concerned. And we'll just continue in prayer for him and whatever the Lord decides. I believe the justice system will do its part, but I don't trust them judges, no offense. Sister Manzetta, you know what I mean by that. Not you, not a federal judge. I'm talking about them white judges over there in Jefferson County.
Amen. Right.
So that's where we're at with that. So, and I appreciate you all's grace. I don't know everybody's name. I'm still learning names. Please do not think I favor one person over the other because I may talk to them. But you should smile at me a little bit more often. If you smile at me, I might approach you sometimes. But seriously, I don't know everybody just yet, but I'm still trying to learn names. So if I forget a name every now and then, forgive me. Charge it to my head and that TBI I got from the government and not your heart. So thank you for being so gracious to me. This is my third month here. Yeah, today is the end of my third month here. I'm glad.
All right.
And hopefully it'll be many months more. This month, please be in prayer for our church. We are celebrating a sesquicentennial. Big old word, sesquicentennial. You know what that word means, young man? Sesquicentennial, you know what that word means? 150 years. A centennial is 100 years. We're having a sesquicentennial, 150 years. We're so thankful to Sister Ford with her efforts and her team and to our moderator and everything that they're doing. Now, I know some of y'all got that long bread. Some of y'all them big-time retirees from the state. Now, I done bought two tables, so buy a table. Oh, y'all got quiet now. I bought two tables. My wife let me go on my little extra little milk money to buy two tables. So buy a table. Buy at least one table and invite your friends. The only way First Church will grow is if you all help First Church to grow. I'm the flower, fertilizer, and water. That's all I do. We have to work together to grow this church. Amen. Amen. It's First Sunday. We do not do a benediction, but one of the most beautiful things that God gave us is the ability to pray. And he gave us a model prayer. So if you all will stand, we will sing the model prayer as the acolyte comes forward and takes the light out into the world.